always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday night by nobody. I am here riding solo for this recap of a loss that escalated quickly. Yep, that's how I'll say it. This game, the Lakers looked like they were in control for a little while, and then the second quarter happened, and then the third quarter happened, and then the fourth quarter came and went, and not enough changed. 135 to 117 was the final. The Lakers gave up 135 points to the Charlotte Hornets, who, granted, have been playing better basketball recently. They had beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder. They, I believe, also beat the Houston Rockets and played pretty well against the Clippers the other night as well. They are certainly turning a corner as an organization as they kind of move on from the Michael Jordan era. But still, giving up 135 points to the Charlotte Hornets, and you know, looking as feckless as the Lakers did defensively throughout basically the you know, three-fourths of this game, was something that pissed off the Lakers fans who were in attendance. And if you were paying attention, if you were watching the game from home and you were listening to Stu Lance there at the end of the game, you heard some frustration from him as well. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. So we're going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about some of the things that I liked from it, some of the stuff that I didn't like so much of, Gabe Vincent. And then we will go ahead and hit on as many of the trade rumors that we saw pop up over the course of the day. I did some calling around to you know, I'll tell you guys what, when I was working for Clutch Points, there was a lot more activity. Like I was, you know, kind of seeking out stories a lot more than I am now. Now I'm kind of reacting to stories and bouncing them off of the people that I know. And so I will kind of offer up a little additional context, on some of the stories that you guys saw over the course of the day, maybe some new morsels here and there. But for the most part, you know, this is posturing season. This isn't quite necessarily negotiating season. This is a different stage of the transaction window, but we'll go ahead and dive on into that as well. And then obviously over the course of the show, I will answer as many of your guys' questions that I can. Thought it was interesting, the reaction and the response to my fireside chat from basically right before the game, as the Dodgers signed Kyle Tucker. I thought it was really kind of interesting how many Lakers fans were like, yeah, let's go. And then like how many Lakers fans were also kind of defensive about it. That was also kind of interesting. So we'll go ahead and talk about that as well. So without any further ado, let's dive on in. After a quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. To those of you who are new around these parts, please hit that subscribe button and turn on your notifications as well, so as you guys know, as soon as I go live. And then, you know, tell your friends about the show, whether it's in video form, audio form, whatever. Tell all your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. Also, one more quick note. I sent out the first of what will probably be many clips of a conversation that Domin and I had for Offside. Basically, what we're doing is having like obviously not live, but, you know, recorded conversations about, you know, various topics surrounding the Lakers. And those conversations are kind of broken up into these like 2 or 3 minute clips, and they will go out on socials, on TikTok, and then eventually they are going to live exclusively on Offside. So make sure you guys are going to offside.gg to check out what we're building there and get your name on the wait list and get yourself ready for beta testing and then eventually like the official launch. So, and you know, obviously we have some fun announcements coming even beyond this one here over the next week or so. So keep an eye out for that. Let's dive on into yet another Lakers blowout loss. Again, 135 to 117 was the final here. The Lakers looked incredible in the first half. I really like the way that the starting unit has been playing recently. I am, you know, I do think Marcus Smart is getting a little gamey. He's Austin Reeves, you know, take your time, obviously. Be super careful about this injury, this specific injury, seeing as you suffered it the one time, came back, and then suffered it even worse. You know, I understand everybody being super careful here, but I also can't keep watching Marcus Smart play basketball to the extent that I've had to. So, but that starting unit, I thought, looked really good in that first quarter. Really active group. Ball was moving really well. They were getting out in transition. Second unit came in, and for a little while, looked like they were going to follow up that effort with even more of the same stuff. I think that second unit desperately needs another ball handler, and I think that's where Austin, again, will really kind of help out. But, you know, because right now the primary ball handler, like they're doing whatever they can to stagger LeBron and Luka, but they really need that extra offensive punch that Austin provides. Mostly because the guy who's been trying to provide that offensive punch has been Gabe Vincent. And I made as many shots in that game tonight as he did, off, you know, even including free throws. So, it's been pretty brutal watching Gabe since he got back from injury. And you want to give him a little bit of grace because you want his, you know, let his feet get back underneath him. But also, he's Gabe Vincent, and I don't think he's very good at basketball anymore. So, that was, you know, from the Lakers side of things, I thought the story in this one was the 3-point shooting kind of cooling down. I thought eventually the Lakers weren't able to pierce Charlotte's very switchy defense, and that really kind of wreaked havoc on their offensive rhythm. And then once the offensive rhythm went and Charlotte was able to get out in transition, game was over. Like, you know, you look at Charlotte's shooting numbers, and they're also pretty astronomical. 20 of 43 from 3-point range is a pretty damn good shooting night. But also, I thought that like a lot of those 3-pointers came in with such great rhythm, whether they came in transition, semi-transition, in the half court. The Lakers were just always playing catch up, you know, not just in terms of the scoreboard, but in terms of whatever Charlotte was trying to do. And I just, you know, this was an ass kicking from the, I would say, because the Lakers looked really good for like the first half of the first quarter or so. But then from that point on, Charlotte started climbing back into the game and then really put the turbo button down, and the Lakers were just absolutely swarmed. So, this is an annoying one. I still say that Charlotte is a little underrated at this point. And I think like starting next year, they're going to be a real figure in the Eastern Conference playoff picture. So some of these losses might not look quite as bad, but still, I don't like how easily the Lakers just let go of the rope. Like it's just not a very good quality of any team: basketball, foosball, football, pool, tiddlywinks. It doesn't matter what you're playing. If you become accustomed to quitting to the extent that the Lakers do or are, there's just no getting around that. That's just who you are. And we are now, let's see, the Lakers are 24 and 15. That's 39 games. We are like almost halfway through the season. This is just who the Lakers are. All right. Man, I am dying and I am seeing some interesting comments here. I'm just going to get rid of this guy because don't need Diddy in my comment section. All right. I don't really want to talk much more about this game, be completely honest. We can give credit to Charlotte. We can, you know, continue. Well, I will say this about Gabe. I really hope like this is like the, you know, because I basically auto assign my thumbnails for YouTube. It'd be great if this was just like, if this was the thumbnail, like right, this right here, just like, why? This is so stupid. This feels great on my eyes though. But anyway, watching Gabe play, you'll see this sometimes, and I've made this point before, but you'll see this sometimes in smarter organizations, and especially organizations that have spent more time, you know, where the key interested parties have spent more time together. But every so often, you'll see a front office step in and help out its head coach. And that is exactly what needs to happen here with Gabe Vincent. It was a giant red flag. Like, I don't have enough red fabric in my house to, you know, piece together to make a big enough bright red flag. But it was a giant red flag that flew when Gabe Vincent came back and JJ Redick said, well, you know, we got to limit Gabe to 18 to 20 minutes or so while he works his way back from his injury. And it's like, you should, 18 to 20 minutes should be like desperation mode. You know, Luka fouled out, Austin fouled out, Bronny fouled out. Okay, I guess we have to play Gabe Vincent 18 to 20 minutes. And yet, like, that was on the low side of what JJ Redick would normally want to play him, apparently. Now, he played 15 minutes in this one and did plenty of damage in those 15 minutes. Here's Gabe's stat line. He played those 15 minutes, 0 of 7 from the field, obviously 0 of 3 from three-point range. He grabbed one rebound, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 block shots, 0 turnovers, 4 personal fouls, and was a minus 15 in the game. The only player with a worse plus minus in this one was Rui Hachimura, who played 18 minutes in this one. And this is alarming. If you're like, if you're the Lakers and you've been trying to figure out a way to convince yourselves to keep Rui beyond this deadline, this is the game that should alert you to some of the concerns with Rui. Rui plays 18 minutes in this one, only shot the ball 4 times. All of his shots came from beyond the 3-point line. Means he spent no time attacking the rim. Did not get to the free throw line. Grabbed one rebound, dished out one assist, apparently blocked one shot. You know, I guess broken clocks are right twice a day. Had those 2 fouls and was a minus 17 in 18 minutes. Like, you want to look at like how Charlotte got back into the game. There you go. You have Gabe at minus 15. You have Rui at minus 18. Those are the 2 more talented players coming off of the Lakers bench. And those are the 2 guys who, like, you know, you would put out there for offensive punch with the second unit. And they both sucked. they were both terrible. And like for Rui, okay, yeah, all right, he's coming back from an injury and maybe he's kind of, you know, gradually getting himself back into game shape or whatever, into game rhythm and all of that. But also we know that Rui tends to float and he tends to sulk when he comes off of the bench. And he is, I guarantee you, Gabe or Rui has seen all of the headlines and all the tweets and all the analysis from everybody saying, yeah, you know what? I think Jake Laravia makes a lot more sense for that starting group. And then you add on top of that all of the trade rumors. Here's what I'll say. I'm going to get to this more in a little bit. But according to the people that I've spoken to, the Lakers are basically treating Rui like they treated Kendrick Nunn that one year and like they treated Talen Horton Tucker that other year, where it was just like, Rui in a first. What can we get for Rui in a first? And, you know, you know he's hearing all of this noise, and he was brutal tonight. Absolutely brutal. He floated for most of the game, and then on the opportunities that he got, he just clanked them and was never really, like, never played with any force. Rui Hachimura is one of the more physically, like, gifted players currently wearing a Lakers uniform. And he may as well be fucking 5'10", 135 pounds with how little he utilizes his big frame. You know, he's just popcorn muscle. And it's just, it's a bummer to watch him. But anyway, he and Gabe were terrible. And I think that was probably most of the story in telling, you know, this one and trying to analyze like how Charlotte got back into the game. Those are the two guys who were supposed to be leading the second unit, and they both sucked. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the assortment. You know what? Let's do this. I'm going to dive into some of your guys' super comments, which means I get to play this bad boy. Fuck watching! All right, so the first super comment, because we have five of them. This is why I'm kind of diving in a little early. Brandon Omang starts us off. JJ sucks. Trade Gabe, Max, and Rui. Rui is useless off the bench. Gives you nothing outside of three-point shooting, and that's if he's hitting. DeAndre Ayton is soft, and his motor is shit. He got benched again. Smart, I don't know what he's doing. They need trades. All right. I thought of this. I was going to send out a tweet, but there was no way to like word it that wouldn't get quote tweeted and I would get canceled over it. But I don't know how many of you people are dog people. If you ever watch a, like a Great Dane or like, you know, like any like really, really, really big dog, like Goofy Big, not like Rottweiler Big, but like Goofy Big. If you ever seen a really like Goofy Big dog play with a, you know, very small puppy, they're always kind of like super cautious, you know, and like the puppy's biting at their ankles and stuff. And they're just like, I don't want to step on you. You know, that's what it's like watching DeAndre Ayton play basketball, where he's like, you know, somebody like steps in front of him. He's like, I'm sorry. I can't, I don't want to knock you over. You know, like when was the last time you saw DeAndre Ayton like commit a charge? Not take a charge, but commit a charge. Knock somebody over. When was the last time you saw that? When was the last time you saw DeAndre Ayton swing his elbows and accidentally catch somebody? Like, your center should be feared. It's the biggest, he's the biggest person on the basketball court. And yet, this dude is soft as Charmin whenever I watch him play out there. You know? It's just, he hasn't, like, I don't know. The Lakers are shopping him as well. And it's just like, or at least if they aren't shopping him, because his market isn't very good, because nobody wants to pay him his next contract. But they are actively looking to, you know, replace him. Because what the Lakers are looking to do, I think the Lakers are pretty clear eyed as far as like, they're probably too far to fix this roster. But what they are looking to do is to, you know, I think by the end of this transaction window, they would like to add one starter to this group, whether it's the starting backcourt mate with, or, you know, wing with Austin and Luka, whether it's, you know, swapping out Rui for somebody. but you know, I think probably likeliest is swapping out the center spot, or at least positioning themselves to swap out the center spot. I think Misi is somebody that they liked back at the during that draft. And apparently he's on the market again. So that's somebody that I would probably say put on your radars. But yeah, like I'm watching DeAndre Ayton play basketball and it's just like, dude, knock somebody over one time. Like play with force, play through somebody one time. I grew up watching Shaq, man. This dude used to put like poor Dikembe Mutombo was like the nicest human being in the history of the NBA. And Shaq had zero problem whatsoever caving in his face with his elbow every single time he got an opportunity to. You know, like Shaq used to play against those Sacramento Kings at a time when the Matrix came out. I think it was the Matrix 2, you know, the second Matrix movie, where all of the Agent Smiths, I believe who it was, would like dive on top of Neo. And then you would hear, and all the Agent Smiths would like go flying into the air. That's what it was like watching Shaq play against the Sacramento Kings. And it was especially great because those Sacramento Kings all wore black uniforms. So they would all go like, and then Shaq would just drop step and all of them would go flying into the Sacramento night. And I miss having a center who played with that kind of force. Even Bynum on occasion would swing around and have no problem whatsoever picking up an offensive foul just to send a message to whoever was guarding him. Like, hey man, stand a little too close again, one more time, see what happens. Right. It's like a good pitcher, you know, will waste a free runner on first base from time to time. If it means those batters staying honest and laying off the inside part of the plate. DeAndre Ayton needs to learn that at some point, man, like you do need to at some point kick some ass, and it's just not happening. But anyway, I don't know. My concern with JJ Redick is, I think it's twofold. I think it needs to be pointed out. I don't think this roster is good enough. And I do think he is doing as much as he can to navigate a flawed roster. I would say I think he's doing as much as he realistically can to navigate that flawed roster. I think there are other coaches that would probably be doing more. Like it's hard for me to say, you know, oh man, poor Lakers and their injury situation. When you look over at Denver and they're staying afloat without Jokic and without Brown and without, they didn't have Aaron Gordon for a while. They don't have Cam Johnson. And, you know, you look over there and they've been able to maintain their spot in the seedings. Meanwhile, the Lakers, like every time they lose any rotation player, you're like, oh man, this is going to be brutal. I hope they can handle this, you know? So, yeah, I think the Lakers, you know, look, they are a flawed team. JJ Redick is a second year coach who I don't think has made enough progress in that second year. And this is kind of what that would eventually look like. But I do think this trade deadline, if the Lakers don't pick up a starter for now and for the future, then it would be a pretty disappointing trade deadline. Justin Tindall, Walter has huge pockets with Dodgers. How will that happen here? Will he be willing to go into the second apron? Pelinka and JJ have to go after the season. All right. Well, as far as him going into the second apron, I think he will be willing to go into the second apron, but I do think eventually, like, when you go into the second apron, you basically are admitting and telling the rest of the league, all right, we have a 2 or 3 year window where we have to go it right now with this roster as it exists. Because once you go into the second apron, it becomes damn near impossible to improve your roster. So I do think Mark Walter will eventually be willing to go into the second apron, but I think they will still be very choosy with the caliber of rosters they're willing to do that with. And I think that's smart. Now, as far as like the organizational impact that Mark Walter is going to have. Like, that is where, like, I just think it's, you know, doing this in the middle of the season is basically impossible. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry I'm rubbing my eye. It's turning, like, beet red on the air for you guys. I apologize. I am dying.
Bye, everyone.